Welcome to the Full Draw, Full Time podcast, the podcast for the Western bow hunter, with your hosts, South Cox of Stalker Stick Bows and Cody Kellum, co-founder of Full Draw Film Tour.
Welcome to the Full Draw Full Time podcast. This is South Cox, and I'm here again with Cody Kellum. Cody, it's good to be back on the mic again. It's been a long time since I've stared at this thing, and we've gotten to talk to each other over it.
I know. I'm still bummed that you have hamsters running your internet down there, so I don't actually get a video conference back and forth. But it's good to hear from you, South. I'm stoked for the new year and listening. You know, kind of we caught a catch up in a bit on what's all going on in your world and Stalker headquarters and all the fun stuff there. So yeah, I'm just excited to be back on the air.
Yeah. Me as well, man. It's been too long. I had a bit of a hiatus there with the holidays and my wife and kids were over and they took a week off before Christmas break and came out. And then, I don't know, a few days after Christmas, you know, after New Year's rather. So they were out here in California visiting me so I could keep working. And I honestly didn't have a quiet place to record. It was, the house was a zoo with kids running around, and my shop, I had a couple carpenters over here that are working on finishing some stuff up so I can get my house on the market and sell this thing. So I didn't have a quiet place to record. And so that kind of was the major hang up on me, you know, having an opportunity to get with you. And then it seemed like our schedules were always conflicting there as well. So I want to apologize to everybody out there who's been patiently and impatiently waiting for the next episode, because I know, you know, me being a rampant podcast consumer myself, there's nothing more irritating than when you're, you know, eagerly awaiting the next episode of your favorite or just anticipated podcast. So
yeah, I feel horrible about it, because I go back and I've been looking. Here's the craziest thing, Sal. This is episode number 50 of Full Draw Full Time podcast.
Wow. That feels like an accomplishment. You know, even getting the second one out felt like an accomplishment.
Exactly. But yeah, that is the hard part, is I was looking at some of these upload dates, and we've been pretty terrible at being consistent. I mean, it's like when we do produce content, it's all the time. And then when we don't, it's a long time between that next time. So apologize to listeners for bearing with us on having to deal with that. But I guess from South and I, we just appreciate you guys tuning in and listening. And it's really exciting to see the growth and the numbers of, you know, what people like to hear. And it honestly, seeing someone downloading it is like, well, maybe that those people can learn one thing from that episode. And, you know, that helps fuel us for excitement to keep doing this thing. So
yeah, we've been getting some great comments, and it's always inspiring to hear that, and kind of, you know, stokes that fire to get back on the mic and do it again.
Yeah, I was out at ATA last week and had several people that came up and said, "Where's South at? He's not here."
Oh, no.
Yeah. I listen to you guys all the time, and I wanted to say thanks. So that was pretty tremendous, really, for people to make out of their way to come up and say that. So, yeah, pretty cool.
Right on. Yeah. I've literally hit every ATA show. And then 3 years ago, I can't even remember what was going on, but I missed one, and I was like, I'll make it there, you know, next year for sure. And then the next year we had just gotten the kids that we've adopted, and I didn't want to leave my wife, you know, quote unquote, unnecessarily, unless right. Unless I was hunting. So I stayed home, and then this year, the third year, I'm neck and eyeball deep in this move and building bows, and it's just like, there's no way. And but next year for sure I'll be there.
Well, you have an opportunity in February to go hang out with a bunch of cool people at the expo.
I may have to, even if it's just flying into Salt Lake for a day, I may have to make that happen.
Yeah. When are you headed out to Colorado for that period of time? About mid-February?
No, actually, I leave a week from today.
Oh, okay.
So, I leave on. So that's the 23rd. I'm going to be taking off. It's a 2-day drive. Well, with weather, you know, if weather cooperates, then it should take me 2 days to get back home. And in Colorado, I'll be home for a day or two. And then I hop on a plane to Kalamazoo, Michigan for a big traditional archery show back there. And I haven't been back there to Kalamazoo in a few years, so it'll be good to get back in. But I'll be bringing, I don't even know, I haven't counted how many bows, hopefully north of 15 bows back there. And it's a big, you know, vendor kind of retail based shoot with a bunch of, or not a shoot, but well, actually they do have a 3D shoot back there now, an indoor one, so that'll be pretty fun also. But it's like, you know, a bunch of the traditional bowyers from around the country converge on Kalamazoo there that last weekend in January. And if you're anywhere near there, it's a fantastic opportunity to go around and be able to try out, you know, all kinds of different bows. They have a shooting range there, so, you know, you can go pull any bow off any bowyer's rack there and get a chance to shoot it and see which one works out best for you.
That sounds fun. I know that did you go out to the Pope and Young deal last year or not?
So that was 2 years ago.
Okay.
And I did. And I'm going to make it out there. I did a seminar at the last one, I think it was Backpacking for Mule Deer. And this one, I'm going to be doing another seminar. It's in St. Louis. The last one was in Phoenix, and this next one's in, St. Louis, Missouri. It's actually over my birthday weekend. So, geez, I'm going to be stinking 48 years old, man. That's scary.
That is.
I'm going to be backpacking with a walker here pretty soon.
gosh.
But you know what?
When did you start bow hunting? I mean, I know you shot that. You had the bow with that you got from your neighbor underneath the porch, right?
Yeah. So I was five when I got, you know, my first recurve, five or six, right in that range. And now, I mean, I shot my first deer in 1985 and with a bow.
So I was 3 years old.
Yeah. So, I mean, I was bow hunting before that, but not super, you know, I didn't have it together, really didn't know what I was doing too much. Not that I was, I really knew all that much in 1985 when I filled my first tag either, but I knew enough to be able to get it done there. So that, what is that? 1985 to a long 30, time,
31 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, that's a bit, huh?
Someone said something the other day and I kind of started putting together. I started bow hunting in 94 when I was 12 years old. So
nice.
Yeah.
Right.
Talking about bow hunting for 20 years. I'm like, I haven't bow hunted for 20 years. And then I sat back and thought about it and was like, wow.
Yeah. More.
That was a conversation with my dad. And he goes, well, actually, son, you bow hunted quite a bit before that, but you were just on my back in my backpack. You didn't know
right.
You were bow hunting.
Yeah. Well, I got a funny back story on, you know, to that effect. So I took my son Dakota. I'm trying to remember how old he was. I think he was four. And I went down to my buddy's pig ranch and just down north, just north of Santa Rosa. And it's, I don't know, January or February or something, raining and kind of drizzling. And it's really hilly country out there. And so I knew there's no way he'd be able to keep up with me. So I brought, and he's pretty small for his age also. So I brought along one of those backpacks with the little, you know, kind of the hood over the top that you can, yep. You know, the kid can see out and stuff. And so I stuck him in there and packed him around I don't know, it was probably midway through the day and I was hiking up out of this canyon bottom and right along this little finger ridge, and there's this draw to my right. And on the other side of the draw, probably, I don't know, 50 or 60 yards away, I saw two pigs came popped up onto the finger just opposite me. And then I could see there's a nice little trail, and the trail dropped down into the draw and then came right out. And it would be, I don't know, like a 10 yard shot when they popped out, you know, in front of me. So I stopped and I said, Dakota, there's two pigs right over there. Well, he wasn't really paying attention. And so we're standing there for 30 seconds or something. He goes, Dad, why did we stop? You know, just a normal loud voice. Yeah. And man, those pigs turn themselves inside out, getting out of Dodge.
Like because of those right there. So.
Right.
That is awesome.
Yeah, it was pretty funny. So
why did we stop?
Did not shoot one of those two pigs.
Golly.
You're going to be doing that pretty soon with your little one hauling her around in the elk woods, huh?
Yeah, for sure. She's, Clint Radford, a good friend of mine from I was about 5 years old, I think, the first time I met him. He grew up next to my cousins, and we reconnected here about 4 or 5 years ago. He's a teacher in Clown Falls, has a daughter now that I think Nora's like 7 or 8. And when he heard we were pregnant at the Full Draw Film Tour in Medford last year, he drove over and he brought the backpack and a pink bow. And then I hunted with him late season this year, and he brought me a basketball hoop over. And I'm getting all these great hand-me-downs. But yeah, so Lincoln, she's figuring out how to pick up her bow and shoot her bow. This little, you know, she's 18 months, and she just absolutely loves it. She has little suction cup arrows. And so, Oh yeah, I've been bugging Steve from Exo to try and figure out how to build a kids carrier. And I figured since they had their first daughter this year that he would have had that done. And I was out ATA with him this week, and I'm like, how's that going? He said, still working on it. I said,
nice.
But, that's what I told him. I'm like, think about that. How many hunters in the market want a kid carrier and they have to go buy one from REI, and you could have one.
Right.
So if you guys are listening and you can reach out to Spec, let him know that you want a kid carrier so he builds one.
Right. Yep. And especially one that's still got a meat compartment.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
Honey, don't worry about the blood right there. It's all
right.
It's all part of the process. But no, yeah. So I'm sure this fall I'll get some time with Lincoln in the backpack. She loves it already. There's a mountain that I climb here that's a really steep trail, and I used to throw dog food in the pack, you know, 40-pound bag. And now I'll just put her in there, and she's like 28 pounds already. She's taller than she is heavy, but I don't know.
Yeah, with your genetics.
Yeah. She had a doctor's appointment the other day, and she's in her 90th percentile in height. It's like, holy cow, kid.
Yeah, my kids are, my adopted kids are all like in their 10 percentile of height. Even though they're not blood related to me, they definitely got my genes in that respect. It's pretty funny. They're always the shortest in their class, like I was. You know, I graduated from 8th grade and I was 4'9".
Really?
Thankfully, I grew after, but man, I think I grew like 10 inches in my freshman year. It was crazy.
Yeah. Went from the screechy little high-pitched voice.
Yeah, no doubt.
So I did get a cool phone call today talking to Corey Jacobson, and you know, on the Born and Raised front, we've got some fun things going down the pipe, but I'll just key a little bit in is he's the party leader for Wyoming for us going hunting with him this year. So
That ought to be interesting, huh?
Yeah, go learn from the Elk Whisperer himself.
Well, you guys do pretty well. I mean, I was thinking about this the other day. How many elk has your crew shot over the years since you guys have been together, or maybe even just collectively?
It was crazy because it's something that we've never kept track of. And then last year someone asked that. And so we just started sitting around drinking some beer. We started calculating it. So through, we started hunting together in 2007, and basically there was, you know, Ty, Trent, Trevor, and myself. So four of us, 2007, then 2008, Steve Howard started hunting with us. And then a couple times we had our buddy from California, Chris Apui, hunt. And then like Trent and Trevor's dad, Daryl, and then, Josh Keller's hunted with us the last few years up until, so really, yeah, since 2007. So about 9 years of hunting, and eight is like a focused film type project. Mm-hmm. Through last year, we've killed now 55 bulls.
Good grief.
So
that's insane.
You know, we hunted basically in Oregon every year. Someone has at least had a single opportunity to kill one. So that's been our goal, is each person to get an opportunity to kill one. And we've pretty much every year, between hunting two states or something, everyone's killed a bull. So, there was one year that Trent didn't get a shot opportunity in 2000. I think it was 2010. It was down to the wire, and we almost killed a bull the last day, the last few minutes. We just got outsmarted on it. So,
well, that's some impressive stats right there.
Yeah. And I, you know, we didn't really think about it until someone asked that. And it's pretty amazing to think about all the experiences we've had combined. And the things that we've learned and picked up, and a lot of things we never even talked about or understood until outside perspective, you know, going through Corey's course, or I was talking to Joel Turner the other day, and, you know, his bulls calling, cows bugle, all these things that we had kind of understood and done, but didn't really know why. And then that outside perspective really, really brought some light to it. So, you know, people ask all the time, what's the secret? And it's like, just the time and the diet, drive and desire. You know, there's, if you have that, you're going to make success for yourself. Which is kind of funny. I mean, it really trickles in from life overall too, I think, and being a husband, a father, and business, and in the field, all that is, you know, you got to have that desire and purpose to do it.
It's funny how you know how you'll know stuff, whether it's just instinctively or learned, you know, from experiences in the field, but you're not really cognizant of that knowledge, and you know, until you get a chance to either talk to somebody and you're bouncing stuff back and forth, or like when we were hunting last year in Nevada together, and
I was a sponge, just going, why are you doing this, what's going on here? And you're like, what do you mean? I wasn't doing anything. I'm like, no, actually you were.
It's just, I mean you just do something, you don't think about it, and there's a reason behind it, but you don't even really know the reason. You're just doing it because, you know, that's what you know needs to be done.
Right.
It is pretty interesting. And there's, you know, people that have that ability to flesh out those things and realize that, you know, that, okay, this is a point I need to make or talk about. You know, and I'm sure that there's things they do that they miss, you know, to that effect, but knowing those things and being able to pull those out, like what Corey has done with his, you know, Elk 101, sure makes, you know, a lot of value, puts a lot of value on it there.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. That, like I said, during, you know, when I went hunting with you last year, I was full tilt, ears forward, eyes sharpened. I mean, because there's so many things, just your movement around the mountain that I, you know, would pick up on that I wouldn't have done or understood unless I asked the question. And you just do it instinctively over the, you know, 31 years of your experience. It's just that common knowledge base. And so, I think that's pretty cool. I think the hard struggle for me a lot of times, seeing hunting now and some people, you know, there's a big push with the solo hunters, solo hunt style. And there's definitely something to be said about that. But for me, having that camaraderie and companionship, and also being able to teach each other and learn from each other, you know, is something I very value on going on a hunt. So I know, I think a lot of times, people from back east are intimidated by just the conversations I've had with a couple people about how hard it is to come out west. They got to be these tough, badass solo guys that are going to go bivvy out and do all these things. And there's a lot easier ways to do it. And I think the progression of like our hunting style, we've come to enjoy those hardships and embrace them, as part of the adventure. And we could have killed an animal a lot easier, closer to the truck. And, you know, there's a lot of ways to get the job done, right? And you kind of, I think, fine tune what the things you enjoy and how the style you like to go about it. So,
you know, this, it's interesting that you talk about this, because this is going to be something I was going to talk about in my seminar I'm going to do in April there for the Pope and Young banquet, is that, you know, just about getting, you know, beyond that level of intimidation about making that first trip out, or, you know, even if you have come out west, you know, and say you've car camped or hunted from a trailhead or something like that, is that, you know, it's pretty easy to overcomplicate things when you're, you know, when you're doing a backpack hunt and trying to, you know, all the logistics that go into it can be pretty overwhelming when you look at it, you know, from, you know, 10 yards away or whatever. If you break it down into individual, you know, steps or compartmentalize it, it's, you know, I mean, just looking at the gear that you need, for instance, I mean, really, you know, depending on what time of year you go, whether, you know, if it's early or late will dictate, you know, some of your gear choices, but it can be as simple as, you know, a backpack, a tent, a sleeping pad, you know, a stove if you're going to be cooking food, or go without a stove if you're just going to do dry food. You don't need a lot of supplies. If you think back, you know, 200 years ago when the mountain men were running around in the woods, they didn't have the luxuries of all the equipment that we've got now. And you can survive and enjoy yourself with a very simple setup. And it doesn't have to be, you know, high dollar gear either. You can go at it with, you know, either some buying used stuff, you know, online, or, you know, Craigslist.
That's, Chase Christopher at the Mountain Project is talking about doing a hunt in New York, like in New York City. I guess there's some public lands that you can do, and he's going to try and buy everything off Craigslist at like a $500 budget, bow, everything, just to go sit in a tree stand and kill one. But, yeah, and I think you're right there. I think people get so hung up on the gear and they've got to have this before they can do it, and take it back to the basics and understand that really you're the power behind going out there. The gear's secondary. I mean, yeah, right. Of course you don't want to, go in November to a high country snow hunt, not prepared for weather, and, you know, get yourself in a pinch, but there's definitely a lot of things that can be left at the truck, and probably better off leaving at the truck, because you're never going to use it anyways, because all these what if scenarios play through people's heads. So,
right. And really, I mean, the less you have with you, the less you have to carry.
Yeah. Less is more, right?
Yeah, exactly. And then, you know, to that end, if you're not bringing as much, then, you know, and particularly if you're on a budget, then, you know, it's one of those things where you can buy, you know, a 3-pound sleeping bag for $100, or you can buy a sub 2-pound sleeping bag for $500. So, you know, you're paying exponentially more for incrementally less, you know, in weight. And so you know, if you're thinking about just coming out and hunting the West and doing it, you know, maybe getting your feet wet to see if you want to do it. Do you really want to drop, you know, $5,000 in specialized equipment to come out here to sample it? You know, you'd be way better off to milk a smaller budget and go about it maybe not as well equipped, but you know, you'll still have a fantastic time and get an idea of, you know, okay, this is something I want to do, or, you know, screw that. Well, I'll read about it and listen to it and live it vicariously, but I'd rather do something else, or it's not as much fun as I thought it was going to be. Cause there's a lot of guys that, you know, jump in head first and then blow their couple months of mortgage payments to get geared up and then decide it's not really for them after all.
No. And that, I mean, Spec always tells me this. Steve does. He said it's better done than perfect, right? Mm-hmm. So if the longer you put this off, the less experience you're going to have, and the experience is going to outweigh what gear you have. So, you know, is to get out, go do it, even if it's not what you, you know, feel like is in a perfect scenario. You needed this, you needed that. And you know, I've kind of found this in my own life. I make so many different roadblocks, you know, physically and mentally, in to get things done, that I build it up in my head so much that I can't go do that. I've got X reasons why. And instead, if I just would have tackled that ahead of time, boom, I would have been up and going, and I would have got through that, and I would have enjoyed the time otherwise. So yeah, it's, I don't know. It's so exciting kind of thinking about, I really think, and for me, the mindset shift that I've had in 2017 is, I'm really excited to take that into the field and carry it into the woods, you know, across those obstacles and problems. And instead of making a monumental mountain out of a molehill, is that right? The right saying?
Yep.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And we've done this already when it comes to elk hunting. It's like, well, the wind's bad. I can't do that. I'm going to back out and hope he's here tomorrow. Well, chances are that opportunity, that sliver of window, you're not going to find that animal again. You know, there's so many different things that outplay it that I personally would rather pursue that opportunity and mess it up than not have that opportunity even come to fruition in the hopes of, right? And you taught me that there in Nevada. I mean, yeah, there's of course that things are not going to work out. The wind's bad. You can't go, but you're going to wait and make it happen. You got to take all those variables into your decision making. But that one day that we dropped all the way off the mountain, I'm going, what the heck are we doing here, South? Like, you're dragging me down to the bottom of the creek. How are we going to find this deer? And sure enough, I ended up getting two stalks and still messed it up. But you know, I mean, it's one of those, I would have built that up in my head. It's like, well, we can't see him from here. Then chances are we're not going to be able to find him in his bed. So we probably shouldn't go do that. We should just maybe go check over in this other basin. It's the same elevation and a little bit easier. And, yeah, it was pretty cool that you led me down there and put me on that buck.
Yeah. You know, a lot of it is just having spent enough time out there in the woods and having the confidence to, you know, to know that that's an opportunity that is, you know, there's a high percentage chance that that opportunity can come together. You know, and me being somewhat of a mule deer specialist, I felt really comfortable with the behavior. You know, there's a lot of factors that went into that. It was the time of the morning where I knew that that buck, you know, was going to be looking for a bed. I could tell by his behavior, you know, that, you know, the fact that he had already bedded down a couple of times during, you know, immediately before that time that we saw him get up and go around the corner and then knowing he wasn't going to go, you know, too much further, beyond where I had last seen him before he bedded up. And I didn't know what the country looked like, you know, clear off the end there. I hadn't been down there before, but I figured that there was a better than unlikely chance that we'd be able to get on them. And it's funny because, you know, those are the kind of opportunities that when you pass them up, you just sit back and kick yourself you know, the whole rest of the year that you didn't take it, you know, and particularly when you don't fill your tag. I had a situation on a bull in Colorado this year. With Wes Smith and I were hunting, and it was, I want to say it was the second day of the season. I hadn't filled my deer tag yet. And we had glassed up this, maybe it was the first, maybe it was even opening day. I don't remember, but I remember it was really early in the hunt.
I've seen the footage of these. Are you talking about the bulls that you glassed up and you walked away from? Or multiple, like the ones that I want to drive down to California and kick you in the shins about.
We walked away from multiple bulls, dude. I'm embarrassed to admit, but this one happened to be, you know, one of those that I really am kicking myself about, because there was a whole herd across the canyon in this basin. I mean, it was way over there. It wasn't, there were some that were immediately right down below us that we were videoing, and that might have been from 2015, the footage that you're thinking about.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah. We had some bulls that were locking horns that were right down below us.
That was okay. All right.
Yeah. Those particular bulls, we didn't have a play at really, because there was nothing between us and them but air. And they would have been, you know, they were super close, but this one was, it was a big herd bull, you know, over 300 inches and just way across this canyon. And he was with a bunch of cows and other bulls up in this open meadow. And then, you know, about the time that the herd all started to move off to bed, he actually broke off from the herd and went and bedded by himself. And I didn't actually watch him bed, but I watched him go into the very top of this triangular, shaped patch of timber that was pretty sparse. And I watched him go into the very tippy top of it and then drop down through it. And then pretty soon I didn't see him anymore. And there was, you know, there was plenty between the perspective I had from being slightly higher and looking down into it. And then the sparseness of it, I could see that it's like, okay, this bull didn't go anywhere. I know he's over there bedded, and I should have just dropped in there and hauled ass around there and come in from the top and just hunted him just like a mule deer. And instead it was just like, well, maybe if, I don't know, you know, like this. And I don't remember what I did with the rest of the day, but I know I wasn't hunting a bull elk that I should have been. And, you know, I'm pretty confident had I just thought of that deer, have that bull as being a big mule deer buck, I could have gone over there and at least gotten in bow range. You know, who knows whether it would have played out or not, but there was a classic mule deer kind of scenario with a bull that would have, with my, you know, kind of stalking experience, would have put me in much better position to run an arrow through him than if I would have, you know, tried to go over there and call him in.
Gotcha. Yeah, no, that's like you said, I can't remember what basketball player says you, but it's a guarantee you miss 100% of the shots you don't take.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, it's a fine line, right? Between making a mistake and screwing something up, but also pushing. And especially like my experience with the wind, like here in the coast range, I don't know how many times the wind's blowing right at them. We're going to get winded. And you literally make a corner around this tree and it's the terrain kind of changes. And next thing you know, you have the wind right in your face, only 10 yards further down the trail from where you're at. And it's like, oh, mm-hmm. Game on, where you would have instead. You know, I mean, in this scenario, it's not like the big thermals like you got on some of these big mountain stuff, but we could have just as easily turned around from that bugle or not pursued it and then gone in there and we actually killed him, you know? So, yeah. And this, I think, trickles down to the whole life, you know, success in life. I think, you know, you and I listened recently to that podcast with Gritty Bowman and Corey and Jordan Harbertson talking about extreme ownership.
Right.
You know, that book was a favorite of mine, top reads of 2016. I actually listened to the audio version because it was pretty awesome being narrated by two Navy SEALs. So like it set the pace for it, versus just reading it for me. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I mean, I think all those things, it's pretty easy in the field to say, well, this happened and make an excuse instead of owning up to understand how you can better yourself by making that mistake, realizing it, owning it, and then applying for the future, you know, that knowledge instead of blaming it on something else. So,
yeah, I listened to that podcast a couple of days ago after you had, mentioned it in the conversation, and I'm pretty good about listening to all of their podcasts, but somehow I missed that one. And so I went and listened to it specifically and got caught up on a couple others that had come out, since the last time I had listened. But you know, there's a lot of insight, in that podcast about being an entrepreneur and, you know, some different philosophies and stuff. And one of the things, you know, coming away from listening to that, if I would have been in that group, during the time that they were recording it, they all added their own, you know, concluding philosophical thought. And one of the things that I've had from, one of the things I've taken away from, you know, being a serial self-employed, you know, entrepreneur myself over the last 20 odd years, having had a construction company where I ran up to 13 employees preceding, you know, me getting into the bow building, is that, you know, you're always, there's always going to be problems that you're going to have to overcome. And you can, you know, approach it in one of a couple of different ways. You know, when something blows up on you and you have a, you know, a catastrophe or a problem of whatever scale it is, you can, you know, mope about it and hang your head and do the woe is me, or you can, you know, immediately begin to search for a solution to the problem. And the philosophy that I always kind of went by is that, you know, every problem or challenge that you run into is the opportunity to find a solution. And rather than, you know, looking at it as a catastrophe, it's the opportunity to find a solution for this problem. And, you know, I found all you do is waste, you know, mental energy when you bemoan a problem. But if you immediately just start to, you know, try to figure out how to tackle the problem and find a solution to it, then, you know, you're going to have to do that anyway if you're going to succeed. But if you, you know, rather than whining about the reality of what you're dealing with and put that energy into finding a solution, it's going to, you know, you're going to get beyond that, much quicker and become much more effective at solving problems and you know, coming out the other end without having spent as much time dealing with it and then, you know, back on to making your business, you know, more successful faster.
Yeah, absolutely. I think you're spot on with that. Yeah, and I don't know, the whole overall concept and Jocko. Do you ever listen to the Jocko podcast?
I have not. I'm going to have to put that on my. Yeah. So is that what it's called? Is the Jocko podcast?
The Jocko podcast. J-O-C-K-O. I actually had a dog growing up as a kid named Jocko. So.
Okay. Easy for you to remember.
Yeah,
then, huh?
But Jocko is like the most extreme bad mamma jamba individual. I mean, I follow him on Instagram and it's like every day you get a post and it's 3:45, 4:15, just got done with the gym. I mean, he's just one Good of those. He is a dominator on work ethic and how it all goes. But I mean, he takes the principles of that book that he talks about, but he's got some great guests. He takes a lot of questions from listeners. The first time I heard him on a podcast was on the Tim Ferriss show. And, that's where I heard about the book and everything else. So yeah, Jocko Willink, the Jocko podcast is definitely one to put on your listenership. I think a lot of people, you know, kind of get hung up about just listening to hunting podcasts. And I think that there's a lot of other things that you can listen to that will make you a better hunter that have nothing to pertain to hunting, you know, and philosophies and how you go about your daily life and how that can translate in the field. I'm a true believer, seeing, you know, being around other people and, you know, guys like Russ Meyer and South yourself and Speck and all these individuals that get done day or year after year in the field and then seeing what they do in their daily life and understanding that it all makes sense because they apply the same principles every day. So,
well, when you surround yourself with successful people, then you're bound to rise to those levels yourself, you know, and I think that is, something I always try to do in my life, the limited times that I get to actually expose myself. That'd be one thing, man. I'm really looking forward to getting out there to Colorado. I'm not going to lie.
You are a hermit right now, aren't you?
Dude, I live in Nairobi, man. I feel like I get dumber by the day living out here because I have so little interaction with people, you know, working in my shop. And, you know, when I had my construction company, I was out, you know, in the field talking to people and dealing with clients and stuff on a daily basis. And now, you know, it's like, there's times I don't leave my property for days at a time and you know, talk to people on the phone, just short conversations when they call up to ask about, you know, this or that about a bow or whatever. But, oftentimes I have very little substantive conversation, especially since my wife's been gone, you know, since September, but even, you know, just like years of me being in isolation in my shop. And, I'm looking forward to getting out there to Colorado and hitting more bow shows and having more social interaction. 'Cause this is getting old. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, we got to get that changed, but oh man, there's so many good things, about this podcast and what it's done for us. And like South and I said, kind of early on, it's pretty, pretty rewarding for people to tune in and listen to what we talk and ramble about. Honestly, you know, we've had some good guests, but South and I were talking, if there's, you know, if you look back over the 50 shows, we can see what downloads and what, you know, what shows are popular. But if there's a certain guest that you want back on or topics, we need to know about it. So, reach out.
Yeah,
to
there's
us.
There's a handful of guests I'd like to get back on, and then a handful more that we have lined up, you know, that we're just working on getting schedules to mesh with. So we've got some good stuff in the pipe coming up, but we'd love to hear, you know, what you guys enjoyed in the last 50 that we've done, what you'd like to hear more of, and then what you'd like to hear new of.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I want to thank all the listeners over the patient period of time here. You know, we've been doing the giveaways for the Onyx maps, but the year passed up and we didn't give the binoculars away, like I said. So we're ready to pick a guy that's going to walk away with a pair of Vortex binoculars, South.
And the winner is South Cox. Woo! Not. yeah, no, let's do it, man.
All right. So South and I pulled some things together earlier and picked a winner, and Garrett Nail, who left a review on iTunes. Garrett Nail is the username. Reach out to us, send us an email at info@fulldrawfulltime.com, and I will get you hooked up with a pair of Vortex binoculars. So pretty stoked to read through these reviews and listen and see what people are saying. It's pretty humbling to be able to help people along the way and just share our journey. I think it's more of a therapy session for myself just to get on the phone with you and rattle off and talk. So
Yeah, it's fun. I mean, it's always fun catching up with friends and catching up with you and the other guests that we have on and talking hunting, and gets me, you know, back fired up and inspired. And drawings are coming up. Jeez, I mean, Wyoming is this month, isn't it?
Yeah, we're like I said, Trent's. I think Trent's going to be the lucky guy that's going to hunt Wyoming, and so he's going to put in as a party with those guys. And yeah, all those plans are coming along fastly. So, and actually, looks like I might have Trent over here in the office a couple days a week coming up. So, pretty exciting stuff on what we got going on, born and raised, and getting him out of the woods and back into making some killer content. So,
boy, it's going to be knee deep over there in the office.
yeah, exactly.
Oh boy.
So the problem, I told him, I said, you know, the office hours aren't necessarily always at daylight, like cutting trees are. So.
No. I think that starts like way before daylight.
Right. Yeah. Cause he's usually got an hour and a half drive and yeah, boots right on and all that. So no, I'm really excited to what we got coming up on the pipe, and I'm really excited for you, Sal. Just, I know you've had a trying period to try and get back with your family out there in Colorado, get that up and going and cranking on your business. And I know in the end, everything's going to work out for the better here, but, just keep wishing and praying for you to make an easier path than what you've had lately. So
yeah, it's gonna come together. It hasn't been very fun, I'm not gonna lie, but it's happening, and I'm putting the house on the market here in California in about a week when I head back to Colorado. So things are finally moving and shaking, and I'll probably be back here the month of March building bows again, unless somebody comes and scoops this place up in the meantime. But I'll be framing the working on the shop and framing the building that ties my house to my shop together, and with my two carpenters out there. And so we're going to go out there and give it heck for 5 weeks and hopefully the Mother Nature cooperates and we don't have too many minus 12 days that we're outside working.
Yeah. That does not sound fun at all.
Yeah, indeed. You don't want to hit your finger with the hammer on those days.
Yeah. Well, I'll let you get back to making some sawdust. And like I said, thanks again for tuning into Full Draw Full-Time Podcast. You can follow South on his Instagram page at Stalker Stick Bows. You can follow, I've got some, my personal side of at Cody Kellum, KodyKellom on Instagram, or Born and Raised, or the Full Draw page. So always lots of stuff. I'm stepping onto a plane tomorrow down to SHOT Show. And like I said, you've got to get to Hunt Expo. All of us are going with our wives there. So you can get Kyrie out of the house.
That wouldn't be a bad idea, actually.
So make it, Andrew was looking, booking flights. I think they're going to, I'm going to go down Wednesday, but the gals there are going to be, I think, coming in Thursday evening or Friday morning and fly out Sunday. So we'll have Friday night, Saturday night. Plus Andrew goes, do I have to be at the show the whole time? I'm like, no, go enjoy downtown Salt Lake, go shopping, have a fun time, and spend a few hours there and walking and seeing things. But
Is that the middle weekend in February?
It's Valentine's Day weekend. So yeah, I think that's like, I'm pretty much seeing like an arrow pointing yes, that you need to do that. So I think the show indeed is the 16th through the 19th, I think. So Thursday through Sunday, but I think we fly out Sunday morning. But yeah, if you can make it, you know, even if it's for a fly in Friday afternoon and then fly out Sunday morning or Saturday evening, however that works out.
So it goes something like this, right? Hey, honey, I've got a great Valentine's surprise for you. We're going for a hunting show.
Right. Well, we're going to Salt Lake. We're going to go check some things out. You leave it open-ended.
Right. Immediately the suspicion arises.
Yeah. That's it. We're harassing our wives about starting a YouTube channel called The Hunting Wives Widows. But I don't know that they're about that. But, you know, working through this thing for therapy for themselves, for us to go hunting more.
Right.
Uh-huh. The self-fulfilling deal out of it. But.
Yeah. Hey, one more thing we forgot to talk about was the submissions for the Full Draw film tour. That deadline's coming up at the end of the month, right?
Yeah, absolutely. No, I appreciate you bringing that back in. So yeah, January 31st is a deadline. You can get on fulldrawfilmtour.com. The very first tab says submit your film. I know that there's been a lot of people talking about it, and had some, so far it's been great. I've got quite a few good submissions, great submissions already. It's going to be stiff competition again, but I think that we're going to have the best year yet again for tour wise. So, if you got any questions,
awesome.
You can shoot me an email at Cody@fulldrawfilmtour.com. And Cody is with a K, or like to stay connected with South and I, info@fulldrawfulltime.com. So thanks again, guys, for listening and tuning in to our shenanigans here.
If you've enjoyed listening to the Full Draw Full Time podcast, please remember to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes so that new episodes will automatically be downloaded to your device as soon as they become available. And while you're on iTunes, please take the time to give us a review. This will help us in the iTunes ranking and will help the podcast grow. Share it with your friends on social media. If you've got a topic or a guest you'd like to hear about on a future episode, please email South or Cody at info@fulldrawfulltime.com. Thank you for listening.